are.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Hope you're doing well and staying safe and enjoying this seemingly transition into fall. I think it's happening too soon, but we have a packed show for you tonight. In the second half of the show, we'll learn all about a Lego Derby and car show that's happening in Narrowsburg. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition. And every Friday, we have the one and only Chris Rowley on the phone with us now to tell us what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the program. This week, let's talk about cell phone towers and other towers that are used for first responders. I understand there was one or proposed one in your neck of the woods. What can you tell us?
Cell towers have become absolutely essential to modern life. But we have another set of towers that are going up in Ulster County. And last night at the Walsing Town Board, Dennis Doyle, who's from the County Planning Board, he is the director there and a longtime veteran, came with Steve Peterson, who's the Deputy Director of Emergency Services for Ulster County. And basically what they were doing was telling the town board that what they want is to set up a tower above the town highway department, which is just off Route 209, and it'll be a 155-foot tower. It's as high as they can go and get FAA permission, because there's an airport within a mile or so. And this is part of a system of 10 sites that are going to be spread around the county. Actually, 16 sites. Sorry. There's going to be 16 sites that are spread around the county with these towers, although they won't all be 155 footers. There will be some that will be stuck on other things. But the idea is this is a county-wide emergency services broadcast system, so that the fire, police, and medical services in an emergency can all communicate with each other right across the county. So if we have some, please let's not have it, but you know, if we have some horrific event, the whole county will be able to sort of talk to itself and, you know, mobilize fire. Now, I've got to say, fire are pretty good at mobilizing help from all over the place in a real bad fire. We've seen that a few times with fires, at the old resorts. But say you needed to have police as well involved, and they needed to get ambulances from various places, this would allow everybody to talk to each other. So while they're all at this point still, I think, on their own radio systems and their own bandwidth, this will give them another bandwidth that they can all talk to each other directly, and presumably they've got new equipment to go with it. So it sounds to me like, you know, this is another step towards, basically Ulster County, you know, moving into the 21st century. There's a certain kind of maturity to governance and the way things operate. And it doesn't make any sense for police and fire not to be able to talk to each other. And we all remember the horror stories that came out from 9/11, where police and fire and so on couldn't talk to each other because they're all on different systems. So Ulster County taking a good step here, moving away from any confusion that way, so that the police and the fire and the medical people can all talk to each other in the event of an emergency. So, you know, they made this presentation, as it were, to the town board. Town board is not opposed to it, but needs to talk to itself about it. It's The issue is, it's 155 feet tall, and it's going to have a big red flashing light on top of it. Mm. You know, so now, fortunately, the town highway garage does not have very many neighbors. And it's up high, this thing, but which means it will be visible to people around it. Most of what lies around that is cemeteries. So they don't care. But there are some neighbors, and unfortunately, they're going to have to live with a big red flashing light up in the sky. But, you know, it's a 155 foot tall, and they would have gone higher. Mr. Doyle made the point they wanted 180, but they couldn't get that because the FAA wouldn't allow it, because it's going to be within a couple of miles of the Resnick Ellenville Airport. And that's always something that governs where these towers can be and how high they can be,
right,
and whether or not they get flashing lights. One minor thing of this is it's not going to have to be striped, which is another thing that comes with. I think if it's over a certain height, like 160 or something, it has to have orange and white stripes, which makes it even more visible so that small planes can run into it. But that's not going to be the case here. So it'll be a blank tower. And this is not a cell tower. So it's not going to have the familiar cluster of aerials and so on up on the top. It's not, none of that. It's just going to have the microwave equipment for this emergency service that's going to be countywide. So, you know, it sounds like a necessary step for the county, you know, another sign of the Ulster County's growing up. It's losing its rural, well, not that much, but it's losing some of its kind of rural kind of aspect, and becoming a bit more of a 21st century organized place, which it needs to be. I mean, people are moving here. They want security and safety, and we all do. So this seems like a good thing. And there has to be a public hearing. So everyone in the township will get the chance to talk about it. And it's not a very big footprint. It's on a 60 by 60 pad. And it's way out of the way. Very few people in Wawarsing have ever walked up there on this particular kind of bench on the side of the hill above the highway department. Very few people have ever been there and know it even exists. I don't think there's any worries about that. I have been there because that's also where the town put the water tank for the Wawarsing Water District. So I went up there to take pictures of it. So I've actually seen this place. But
can you see it from the road or anything like that? Because that's always been the fight in our area, where towns, let's say, for example, there was a big fight in Rock Hill, New York, which is famous for not having any service. When you enter Rock Hill, it has gotten better. But a lot of the first responders were complaining, rightly so, that they couldn't get access to, like, an emergency happens. They can't, the person who gets into a car accident or something like that can't make a phone call to anything. And there was proposed cell phone tower, an emergency tower that was going to be near a lake community. And there was a big uproar because it was ruining that lake community's view of the sunset or view of their nature that they like to see. It was a big enough stink that they were actually got it to be moved from the original proposed area.
Well, there you go. That you put it very neatly. That's as always, that's the nut that gets cracked here, right? You know, everyone's got, you know, their own little local thing, their view, their whatever, and then what, you want to come in and put this, you know, this huge great tower in over it. From the very earliest days doing this job back in 2008 2009, I ran into a number of cell tower applications at the planning board in town of Crawford and also town of Shangam, and sometimes people would be so upset that they'd be weeping in these meetings, and the phone company sent heavy duty corporate lawyers from companies like Cuddy and Fetter to basically, you know, I don't want to over egg this, but basically just threaten the planning board people with, yeah, you better watch your step because otherwise we'll come for you, kind of stuff. It seemed to me at that time way over the top. But of course, they always got their way and the towers went up. However, at one point, I did see a cell tower lose the kind of ugly look of with all the aerials sticking out of it, and it was compressed into one of those single pole things. So all the stuff is inside a pole. So this looks like a very big pole or smokestack or something. There's one of those in Marbletown, and this other one went up on the Hogeberg ridgeline thing in Tanishonkam. Yeah, and you know, okay, so it's much less ugly, but it's still there. We're now in a world where we have to have phone access. As you said, if you have a dead spot and you get into some kind of car trouble, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And again, emergency responders, they need to have that ability to communicate. And this countywide system will give them that without having to use cell phones. So it won't be that they'll have to, in emergency, reach for a cell phone. Instead, they'll have this new equipment, and they'll all be communicating. And the other thing here is that, you know, they will be able to talk to each other immediately, directly. They won't have to go through anybody in some central location that can switch them back and forth. They'll be able to talk directly, fire to police, to ambulances, and all the rest of it. And that could be very important for saving lives. So, you know, it's kind of essential, and it's not a bad step, but people can come and talk about it and complain if they want at the public hearing, which hasn't been announced yet, but it will be. Look at the Shangam Journal or look online. You'll see that this thing will be announced. And I didn't get any sense that people at the town board were opposed to this. They can all see the sense of it. But it will be visible. It's going to be visible from the road because it's up high it's being placed on a sort of fairly high part of ground that overlooks the town highway garage. And, you know, it's going to be very visible, especially at night when the big red light is flashing, you know. But hey, what are you going to do? You're going to have the red.
Yeah, and you mentioned like people moving up. When you say moving up, they're moving up from the city, and you live in the city. You have a certain expectation of like high speed internet or even phone service. Like I have AT&T. I never get 5G up here. It's only when when I head closer to the city, my phone, you know, lights up and it goes, oh, and now I have 5GE or something like that. Whatever the high thing is, you know, folks move up here, they expect that, and like the pandemic started the sort of push more the trends of working from home, and folks are, even though things have gone sort of somewhat back to normal, folks are still working from home, and there's jobs out there who request to be home and all like that, or even weekend if you have side projects or things like that, or even just want to watch, you know, TV. I remember back in the days of satellite, which is still satellite internet, but satellite internet used to give me, you know, a certain amount of gigabytes a month, and that would be equal to like at least one movie, streaming one movie. And that was ridiculous when that was happening.
You know, come
from the city that recently I was used to high speed internet.
Well, yeah, I mean that has arrived. You know, I mean I do everything off of an AT&T home system here now. We had satellite, and it had all the usual problems that satellite does, with limited amount of bandwidth and limited data. It was all very expensive. Now I've got this CNT system. I've got to say, AT&T, it has been a revelation. It's been so much better than the other two when we've had them. But all of this equipment is being upgraded all the time because the demand grows incessantly. And I'm a fairly light user of this stuff. Of course, we watch TV with it. I mean, I've got to see the Premier League on the weekend through the, you know, that's essential. And other sports as well. I mean, I'm watching a bit of the Yankees now. This has been an interesting season. You've got to have television. We used to have DirecTV. We dropped that quite a while ago. But we're all getting it through the phone, which I think is interesting. And it's all going to continue to increase and increase. And one other thing that's going to happen is that I believe I heard this just in a passing in a recent meeting thing, that all the antenna on the towers, those are all being replaced steadily to higher grade, you know, higher capacity equipment. And the the back channel, you know, that takes the stuff off the tower and puts it down into the ground, into a fiber optic cable. That's all being upgraded as well. So there's a constant move. Now, there's another story that I'm going to start on today, which hopefully I'll get done for next week. But you've already got Archtop down there in Sullivan.
Right.
Sullivan's got Archtop. Archtop is in Kingston. And we want to know, when is Archtop going to connect the two, and we're going to get optic fiber down the Route 209 corridor. That would be a tremendous boost to various kinds of heavy-duty internet usage, and also a challenge to Spectrum, one of the least popular.
Yes, yes. If you're ever on Facebook and something goes wrong with Spectrum, you do hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. And I do understand. We've done a number of stories about Spectrum, and I realize that, you know, it's patched together. It's got this bit here that was put in 2020, and this bit was in 2000. That bit's from 1995. You know, and they have to connect and talk to each other. And, oh, please. I mean, it's, who would want to be a Spectrum design engineer? But anyway, yeah, all that. But so the point is that this need for connection, communication from emergency services to just watching TV is not going to get any less. It's just going to intensify. And we're going to see more towers and more connection. Although, of course, Archtop, since it's optic fiber, that won't need towers.
Okay.
I don't know whether Archtop will ever get up here. It would be interesting to see if they will, you know, kind of venture into the mountains, but that would be a treat. But because I don't think we need it, because as I say, I just use the phone. AT&T does everything.
Right.
So, but then I'm not a heavy user.
Yeah, but you got to think about the families now with kids, you know, streaming, you know, like even like for me, sometimes we have dinner. I have dinner with my daughter, and I hate to say that we both are on our own tablet sometimes. Watching or whatever we were watching. So you need some kind of power to not only handle that, but also like in my house, I have like Amazon, the Alexa on. So those things always run on internet. I have a internet based, a smoke detector, you know, things like that. So it's a huge, huge usage of internet sometimes. And especially if you have a larger family with multiple kids.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got multiple kids, if you have a couple of teenagers who like to play video games, well, God help you. But if you do, they need massive connectivity, and they also need no latency. They've got to have instantaneous back and forth. Only way to play the most advanced games are so high speed, and, first of all, the graphics are incredibly demanding, just as demanding as watching a movie. But then you've got the back and forth into the game to do stuff. It requires very high levels of very high speed. And
right.
So you've got to have. So, yeah. So, I mean, I could see it. You know, eventually everybody's going to have optic fiber or something, or Spectrum's going to up its game, and everyone's going to have Spectrum or optic fiber or both, plus some other backup system.
Yeah, it's a high speed demanding world, and you know, we noticed that more and more, especially during the pandemic, as schools went remote and folks in rural areas did not have high speed internet. Hey, Chris, yeah. I think that this is a good spot to end it there. We were talking to Chris Rowley from Chuancook Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellaville and Ulster County. Again, Chris, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, everybody, have a good weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll learn about the Lego show that's happening this Saturday in Nowersburg. You love Legos? And visiting Nowersburg? Well, you can combine those two this weekend on Saturday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Some people think they're always right. Others are quiet and uptight. Others who seem so very restless.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
particularly in the Trump era, where there is a very cutthroat political dynamic. And in the last election, where Democrats were seen as being weak, gerrymandering is giving Democrats an opportunity to bring a knife to a knife fight.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
This week on Farming Country,
Great Big Lumberjack, yo-ho!
Join me at the Grahamsville Little World's Fair, the longest-running independent fair in New York State. From 4-H livestock shows to lumberjack competitions, this report from the fair is one you won't want to miss. Plus, we chat with Jessica Lansdale from the Lake Community Alliance about their latest fight against irresponsible developments. Join me, Kimberly Izar, this week on Farming Country, Saturday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. Friday evening, I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. This Saturday in Narrowsburg, it's all about Legos and cars. The Lego Derby and Car Show will be happening from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the shops on Main Street. It's a free and family-friendly event with plenty to do and see. The event is hosted by Miss Adrian, along with the shops at Narrowsburg, Tustin's Social, and La Cigogne. Not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but we got Miss Adrian on the phone with us now to tell us more about the Lego Derby and Car Show. Welcome to the show, Miss Adrian.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
So the Lego Derby and Car Show begins this Saturday, tomorrow at 11 a.m. So can you walk us through what folks can expect when they come to the show?
Absolutely. So when you come into Main Street, you're going to see some signs directing you to the car show. So you're going to see real cars alongside their Lego companions, and those are going to be in the parking lot outside of 2 Queens and 108. And then you're going to want to make your way downstairs inside, outside La Cigogne, the restaurant on the water, and Tustin Social. You'll see the derby track as well as another car indoors, and that's where you'll get your race on. You can enter the raffle. You'll see some local businesses, and then you can make your way around all of the shops. We're going to be having a scavenger hunt where you can look for Lego cars in each of the shops and check them off the list. Can you find them all?
Oh, that's awesome. Now, when does the actual race begin on tomorrow?
Sure. So the derby will be ongoing. So you can come in at any time and you can build a car. If you didn't make it to one of our workshops ahead, we will have some Lego car parts there. You can build a car and race it. Everyone who races down the line will have a raffle ticket, and they'll be put in for a raffle to win a beautiful gift basket provided by Iris in Narrowsburg inside the shops. And then also we'll have votes for favorite cars. So students and adults have stylized their cars, and you can come and vote for your favorite. And they'll also win a prize from another local spot, Sprinkles. So come on out, and everyone can have a chance to ride down the derby track. And like I said, if you didn't make a car ahead, we've got plenty of supplies for you. We'll also have some free build going on, so you can really spend a lot of time enjoying the day with your family, with your friends, enjoying the Lego, enjoying the cars, building those fine motor skills, of course, and just enjoying the shops as well.
Right. Now, you are known in the county for doing events for kids and mostly with Lego. I'm just always interested in how did you get involved with Lego?
Sure. So my dad is a big, big Lego builder himself. He's participated in many Lego shows over the years, including train shows. And so it's been a love of both of ours. So we've really taken off, and there's so many benefits to Lego developmentally. I run weekly Lego clubs at Ready Books in Jeffersonville, and it's so rewarding to see just the development. Students are not only building their physical fine motor skills, problem-solving skills, spatial awareness, but it also gives them a chance to interact with other students who are also builders in the community and help build those social emotional skills as well. It's definitely been a love of mine for many years, but in the most recent years, my work with children with Lego has really expanded, and the benefits have just been amazing, both for me personally, but also as an educator.
Yeah, and you know, I see it now in schools have so many like robotics and things like that. And I always felt like the Lego was the beginning of that when folks, kids in school were building things, and how Lego advanced throughout the years.
Yeah, and it really does. Students have this uninhibited creativity that Lego really taps into. If you're not a set builder, there's free build for you. The possibilities are endless. And so the open-endedness, I think, is also very desirable and also makes it multi-generational. This is something that young and old enjoy participating in. And so I'm super excited to bring this show to the community. And then we'll also have a show in winter 2026. We're going to be having a heavy equipment show held at Catskills Equipment in Jeffersonville. So that's another one to look forward to if you can't make it tomorrow. Again, it's 11 to 3 tomorrow at the shops in Narrowsburg. Look for the signs, but you'll catch us out in winter 2026. We'll be putting on a heavy equipment show, so you can look out for that as well.
That's awesome. Now, for this particular Derby show, are there any plans for making this an annual tradition or expanding it in the future?
Sure. Yeah, you're not the first person to ask. And we're really here to serve the community. And so I think if it's something that the community wants, then we're happy to provide that. It's definitely been a collaboration between not only myself, but La Signon, the French restaurant, as well as Tustin Social, as well as all of the shops in Narrowsburg, and even the building owner is deeply involved in this. So it's really been a good way for all of us to come together for not just the children of our community, but just for the adults and, like I said, the multi-generational, all aspects of our community can enjoy these events. And so doing things annually, too, is a good way to know what to expect and to know that fun is to come. And I'd love to be a part of that.
Right. Now, I just want to make a note on parking, because reading the River Reporter article, they mentioned that there will be no parking in the small parking lot between the 108 and 2 Queens tomorrow. Yeah. Folks said just took note of that, right?
Yes, I would make note of that for sure, but there is free parking all along Main Street, and then there's also the lot that's up behind the post office, I believe it is. So there's lots of parking up in there, and then there's also parking down in. So if you go through the streets, you'll see that there's parking on the roads throughout the neighborhood, and there's a lot going on. But if you do end up parking a little bit further away, enjoy walking around, enjoy looking at all the things. I believe the farmer's market is also going on tomorrow, so there's going to be lots to see. When you do go to that parking lot, the one that'll be closed off, that's where you're going to see all the real cars and their Lego companions. So definitely make a stop there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Miss Adrian, before we go, is there anything else I have not touched on you want folks to know?
No, I'd say just stay creative. I would say get out there and support your community, support the kids out in our community. Look forward to more great programming, because we got lots coming up in the fall. Look ahead. We've got great after-school kids programming coming up at Tustin Social. You'll also see me at Fallsburg School. You're going to see me at Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, Ratty Books in Jeffersonville. If you want to learn more information about me, my website is missadrian.com. Also, of course, follow me on Instagram at YoAdrian for all my Rocky fans. That's my handle. So I do try to give daily updates on what we got going on in the community and let it be known that there is financial aid available for all of my programs. So every child can always participate.
That's awesome. We were talking to Miss Adrian, who has the Lego Derby and Car Show happening in Narrowsburg Saturday, tomorrow, August 23rd, starting at 11 a.m. at the shops on 90 Main Street. Miss Adrian, again, thank you so much for talking to me. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll plan to see you tomorrow.
And that does it for the local edition on this Friday evening. Awesome. Thank you to my first guest, Chris Rowley. And of course, thank you to Miss Adrian. We'll be back on Monday. We do this all over again. Radio Chat Skill starts at 10 a.m. and local edition starts at 6 p.m. Check out our website, wjffradio.org, for all the latest news and sign up for our newsletter. Again, I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Lucy, have a good night, because we have a full day of Legos tomorrow. Everyone else, take care, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Support comes from the Jeffersonville Area Chamber of Commerce's Sunday Market, running weekly behind Jeffersonville Bake Shop, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring local farmers, artists, makers, and community organizations with live music and family-friendly activities, Memorial Day through Labor Day. More information at jeffersonvilleny.com. And from the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. CalicoonTheater.com.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.